This is Jerry Agar on News Talk 1010.
Pop Goes the Weasel is the name of a book subtitled Rock and Roll Off the Record. Jerry Young has been in the music business for almost 40 years, a concert promoter, manager, label record executive with PolyGram, and he has his own label, Current Records, and he's put out this book now of some of his memoirs of the business. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
Living the rock and roll lifestyle all your life, is that
always
it?
Always have been.
All right. Let's jump to one of the stories here where early on in your career, living the rock and roll lifestyle turned out not to be the case when you were ferrying Randy Bachman around Toronto.
Randy is a great guy. Randy is not a partier, though. When I thought I was getting into the rock and roll lifestyle and thought I had a ticket to ride, my first person I had to deal with in terms of artists was Randy. And they said, Jerry, just take Randy around to do the interviews in Toronto, you know, have lunch with him, do the interviews after, and after that, take him to the airport. So we had a couple of days with him, and I every time a meal came around, I said, where do you want to go to eat? And he said, let's just go to Sai Wu Restaurant, which is a local Chinese restaurant that was in town at that time. And we went there and up the stairs to the third floor and had lunch and then went around to have some more interviews. And I said, Randy, where do you want to go for dinner? And he said, Sai Wu. I said, again? He said, yeah, Sai Wu again. So we went back to Sai Wu. Randy was on a diet, so he was having some very tiny little meals and bean sprouts and things like this. So we kept on it. Next day, same thing. Where do you want to go for lunch? Sai Wu. Again, we go up the stairs. Finally, the last night there, I said, where do you want to go? I said, Randy, is there nowhere else you want to go? Nope, let's go to Sai Wu. I sent him back finally to Winnipeg on a flight, and I think he was full of MSG. That's the only place we went the whole time.
And he didn't go out at night and party and drink and have babes and all of that stuff?
There wasn't one beer to be had by anybody.
Wow. I wonder if that's what broke up the Guess Who, because some of the others were quite different than that.
Well, that might have been one of the reasons. I don't know.
I think Jim Cale was the opposite side of that coin.
I heard about that.
Yes, he was the bass player. Who was the most? But on the other hand, Randy Bachman's a great guy to talk to, isn't he?
Sure is. He's a wonderful guy, and boy, he sure knows a lot about music.
Yeah, he's a fascinating man. And who was the most disappointing that you ever met over all those years?
Well, there's a great guitarist. I don't know if you remember him. There's a fellow by the name of Robert Fripp, and he was with a band called King Crimson back in the 60s and 70s.
Right.
And he is now, I think, voted something like the 20th best rock and roll guitarist in history. At any rate, he came through town to do a little show, and he had produced a Peter Gabriel album, and he was just like Peter Gabriel in that sense, from a classical rock band like Gabriel was. And basically, he came into town, and I said, you know, is there any way I can help you out? He said, yeah, pick me up at the airport. And I said, well, can I send a car out for you because it's rush hour and I've got five bands in town this week? And I'd met Robert Fripp before when he'd been through town. He said, no, I need you, the promotion manager, to come out and get me at the airport. And I said, but it's 5 o'clock, rush hour Friday. I'll be 2 hours of traffic, 2 hours getting back. He says, no, I'd much rather be with you than in a limo. So, of course, I had to go out and the rest of it. And he was just basically so self-centered that he just had no respect or caring for what anybody else did. So he was disappointing.
All right. Well, I guess I would expect if I spent a life in the business, I would meet a number of those kinds of people. You didn't really get very far with Jerry Lee Lewis either.
Before I joined PolyGram, I was with TV Ontario, and I was doing a film called Cameron the Song, which basically we took musical artists like Buffy St. Marie and Hoyt Axton, and we wanted Jerry Lee Lewis, and we'd take their music and basically put visuals to it from places around the world. Well, we're in California, and we're taking a break from filming, and we went into a bar, a famous country and western bar called the Palomino, and it was in the afternoon, and apparently that night Jerry Lee Lewis was playing, and he was doing sound check. So the producer I was with said, Jerry, go on up and see if Jerry's interested in being in the show and having his songs showcased in the show. So I went up and I said, Jerry, can I speak to you, please? Producer wants to. He says, if you've got $5,000 cash, then I'll talk to you. If you haven't got $5,000 cash, I'm not talking to anybody.
So and it was cash on the table,
table,
right?
Told the producer this was the story. The producer said, well, you know, let me give this a try. Of course, he came back 2 minutes later and finished his beer, and we left.
Yeah, it was. He wasn't good.
There was
except,
no show because it was no $5,000.
Yeah, and it had to be cash on the table.
Cash on the table right then.
Talking to Jerry Young, longtime music promoter, manager, label executive, and working here in Toronto much of the time. Pop Goes the Weasel is his book. You didn't expect to be impressed by Kiss, but did they impress you?
I didn't expect to be impressed by Kiss, but I'll tell you something. These guys are certainly pros. I guess you've seen Gene Simmons' Family Affair and the rest of it. Family Jewel, excuse me.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, he's very specific about what happens with the show and who's involved in the show and the rest of it. Well, we were backstage at Maple Leaf Gardens, and this is back in the 70s when, in fact, they wouldn't allow anyone to see them without their makeup on. It was a big secret affair for some reason. So at any rate, I had some people waiting, some press and media people waiting, and contest winners who were going to have their picture taken with Gene. So I and the band. So I went and knocked on the door because it was 10 minutes to showtime, and they still hadn't shown up for the photos. And I wasn't allowed in the dressing room, and this was sort of unusual because record company executives were usually allowed in the dressing room before a show for a band. Not that we wanted to go around often, but sometimes we had to. So at any rate, I knocked the door and said, you know, the people are waiting for the picture, and this has all been all agreed to, of course, by the management beforehand. And, you know, I wasn't allowed in. I was told to go away, and they'd be there in due course. So I went away and thought this was rather odd. I wasn't allowed in the dressing room, but nevertheless, that showbiz, I come out. And suddenly, about 5 minutes later, out comes the band, and they're like 7 feet tall with their clawed boots, etc., on, and their makeup and their clothes and everything else, and the costumes. So they come out, and Gene Simmons comes over to me, or trundles over to me, and I'm looking up at him, and he whispers in his Bronx, heavily at that time Bronx accent, "Jerry, sorry I didn't let you in the dressing room. It's just one of the things. We don't let anybody see us before we have our makeup on." And I thought, wow, this is very odd. But, you know, he came out. They did the pictures. They were just pro all the way and nice as hell to everybody.
Everybody says that he, especially Gene Simmons, is a fantastic businessman. I mean, there was a plan to that, not just an ego thing.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, this guy sat around his... he was a comic book freak when he was a kid growing up. And he loved comic book characters and cartoon characters. And this was his idea. He thought Alice Cooper came out. And he thought, well, you know, that's something, but that's not really where I want to go. And he just took it to new heights. And the first time I saw them at Maple Leaf Gardens, I mean, I wasn't a huge Kiss fan by any means. But, I mean, what a show. I mean, I'd never seen a drummer propelled 50 to 100 feet in the air spinning as he drummed in my life. Nor had I seen at that point in time anybody suspended from the ceiling like Gene Simmons was 150 feet above the crowd at Maple Leaf Gardens and halfway through the audience. At that time, that had never been done, so it was quite spectacular.
Jerry Young has been with me. Pop Goes the Weasel is the book. It's just a fun book full of short stories like the ones he's just told you here and many, many more. Enjoy the book very much. Jerry Young, thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
This is Jerry Agar on News Talk 1010.